We here at Shockwaves are thankful for our sponsor, Fright Rags. Fright Rags right now has brand new Creepshow collection, including shirts and hoodies. They also have the all-new Jigsaw collection. You can also check out the officially licensed trick-or-treat and Halloween lines on shirts, pins, and more. They still have the General Mills line, including awesome t-shirts of the Monster cereals. All the artwork is custom made by top horror talent, and you can get 10% off your next order by just entering Shockwaves1217 at checkout. Get 10%. Enter Shockwaves1217 at checkout, fright-rags.com.
One of the things I'm thankful for is our other sponsor, Shudder. Brought to you by AMC Networks, Shudder is not only a premium streaming video service, but an experience unlike any other. Created for fans of all degrees of thriller, suspense, and horror, Shudder is home to the largest and fastest-growing human-curated selection of high-quality, spine-tingling, and provocative films, TV series, and originals. And there's always something new and unexpected for Shudder members to explore.
New on Shudder is Another Evil. After encountering a ghost in their vacation home, Dan and his wife Mary consult an exorcist. Unsatisfied with the verdict, Dan goes behind his wife's back to seek a second opinion and hires Oss, who promises to get rid of the beings. Oss and Dan spend a week in the vacation home excising the evil beings, but Dan soon realizes that ridding the home of evil won't be as simple as it seems. Starring Togetherness's Steve Zissou and Eastbound and Down's Steve Little, Another Evil is a haunted house comedy you won't want to miss.
Shudder is available for $4.99 a month or $49.99 with an annual membership, but our listeners get a free month by entering promo code SHOCK at checkout. Again, you get a free month by entering promo code SHOCK at checkout. Go to Shudder.com today and find the best collection of thrillers, suspense, and horror available to stream anywhere.
Okay, and welcome to episode 74 of Shockwaves. This is our very special Thanksgiving episode, or Black Friday episode, however you want to roll with it.
Sure.
I am one of your hosts, Rob Galuzzo. I am sitting here with Mr. Ryan Turek.
Turkey Turek, as they used to call me in elementary school.
By the time this airs, you're going to be stuffed to the gills, man, with turkey. Rebecca McKendry?
It used to be Rebecca French Fry, because my maiden name was Fry. So we'll go with Rebecca French Fry.
And what food can describe this next guy?
Elric Cane.
Elric Candy Cane.
Candy Cane.
It's not the cranberry sauce cane.
It's not the cranberry sauce
cane. Not the cranberry cane.
And I know you're thankful for things like Blood Rage.
I am deeply thankful we have one really awesome slasher movie to look forward to every year now. I love that film.
And Blood Rage. All right.
So fun.
Listen, more power to you. And so... listen, we got to be with family, we got to do our thing, but we wanted to throw another episode out there, and so this is going to be a little bit different and kind of cool. Basically, the four of us are here to talk about...
Ernie's here.
Ernie, our sound engineer. Let's give a shout out to Ernie. We're thankful for Ernie. We're going to throw out five things that we're thankful for, and it could be anything, not a specific movie or anything like that. We just thought it'd be really fun to take a moment to kind of talk about the things that make all of us collectively happy. You know, for example, I was thankful for Slashback Video, but it's now been retired as of this airing. But that's one of them. That's an example for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully everybody came with their homework.
Yes.
I'll kick us off.
Elric's doing it right now.
He's still finishing it.
I'm the Scrooge of the bunch.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start off counting backwards, number five. One of the things I am grateful for, believe it or not, which will make sense to nobody except California residents, I am thankful for Magnolia Boulevard. And if you're wondering why that is, it's because Magnolia Boulevard is a street here in Burbank, California, and we affectionately call it the Magnolia Strip. And there's just a ton of horror and pop culture-related stores all within walking distance of each other. And that's the thing. I remember when I was a kid, I had like two stores within walking distance that, you know, like a general store that had a rack of comic books.
Yeah.
Like that was my thing I got excited to go to. And then I'd go to the bookstore because I was hoping I could find a Fangoria there. But that was kind of it. There wasn't much. So if you told young 10-year-old Rob G, who's scourging for a Fangoria and a comic book, that I would live 5 minutes away from a strip that included Dark Delicacies, Blast from the Past, Creature Features, Halloween Town, you know, the
Black
Mystic
Hat Room. Comics is really
Black
cool.
Cat
just
Comics
opened
is
up.
Brand new.
Yeah.
What's the one? This one's further down, but I learned of it from the Perky Nerd.
The Perky Nerd and Geeky Tees. Well,
Geeky
is
Tees.
Also. Yes. And
Geeky
the Perky
Tees,
Nerd
Perky
is
Nerd.
Great.
There's some new additions.
Yeah.
Mystic Museum.
And yeah, Mystic Museum, which is Bearded Lady Vintage,
yep,
where
yep.
you did Slashback.
Yep.
And so the point being is, if you're, when I have friends visiting from out of town, especially ones with the same sensibilities as us that just like horror and cool stuff, I always say you got to hit up Magnolia Boulevard.
Hell
and
yeah.
Just take a walk down that street and there'll be a dozen places, including there's a couple of coffee shops. There's some vintage clothes stores.
Really cool little mm-hmm. rockabilly stores along the stretch too.
And how often, because I know Becca, you just did this recently, they do, is it weekly where they do kind of like...
once a month, ladies
like,
night.
They do it once a month. It's mm-hmm. family night. And we just moved like a block away from the strip, which we've been so excited about because we can walk to like Romancing the Bean, which is one of the
yes.
coffee shops there and everything. And yeah, so they do it once a month. They do this thing. It was ladies night, but then I think they decided to expand it. So now it's family night.
Yes.
And they bring in all of these amazing food trucks. Like I look for, like I don't eat that day because I'm seriously like, no, I'm eating fried okra for dinner.
It feels like a fair, like
yeah.
an outdoor fair.
They bring in, it's amazing stuff. Like they have nitrogen ice cream that my daughter always gets. And it's the only time, I swear.
Why are you giving your kid nitrogen ice cream?
They have like liquid nitrogen and they literally use it to freeze the cream
right.
instantaneously. Mm. And I can't have it because I'm allergic to milk, but my daughter like freaks, shut up, boys. But apparently it's the greatest stuff ever. And it's the one time of the month I eat barbecue. So yeah,
wow.
I love it. But and they, all of the stores set up all these like outside booths. Usually a couple of charities will set up. I was there last month. For the Etheria scholarship thing that we're
oh,
doing.
Oh, that's right.
And I ran into Ryan while we were there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just, it's a wonderful thing.
It's also where horror trivia happens, which is Blast from the Past.
Blast yeah. from the Past.
Boulevard.
But there's also great restaurants.
Yeah.
There's Porto's and Romancing the Bean is a good place to just
yeah, get a sandwich,
start up.
Yeah. Coffee, whatever you want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, that's what I'm thankful for. That's my number five.
That's a good one,
that's
Rob.
How about you, Ryan? Why don't you kick us off?
Well, in addition to being thankful for my family and friends like
these are
yourselves.
Givens. Yes.
Yeah.
And our listeners, also Givens. I am thankful this year for horror board games.
Oh, yes.
You guys have gone on this journey with me as I talk enthusiastically about games.
But we haven't played
like,
it yet. We have to do it as a group.
Yes,
well, I've
yes.
played on a few
Mixed
nights
Mixtape Massacre.
Yeah.
It's so
yeah.
much fun, yeah.
Camp Grizzly, Betrayal at House on the Hill, and most recently The Thing.
Outpost, yeah.
Yeah, which is a great game, which I really need to talk about at some point. But yeah, I like this resurgence of board games, especially the horror variety, because it's an opportunity, albeit a limited one, to bring friends over and not shit yourselves in a dark theater for 2 hours in which you're probably going to scatter afterwards and just say goodnight mm-hmm. at a movie theater, but get fans, friends together and sit around a table, have some food, have some good conversation, and then spend the rest of the evening scheming against one another as you try to win. It's just I feel like it's a little bit more personal. I feel very often, I love it, and I love our community, but I feel all too often when we all make plans, we go, oh, let's just go meet at the theater, and then we're all scrambling to run to the theater 5 yeah. minutes before the movie. We go into the movie, and they're like, oh, I'm exhausted. That movie was great, guys. It was good to see you all, and you didn't really see anybody
yep.
because we all just sat together yeah. holding hands. And I feel like the kind of board game experience is a good one just because then you get to catch up on a personal level and then have a lot of fun. And what and also the production value of the board games have gotten significantly cooler now that they're bringing in great artists like Justin Erickson and Fred and his team at Mixtape Massacre and I'm looking at the list of other things that are coming up and it's just fantastic. So I'm thankful for horror board games.
What would be your starter, like if somebody wanted to buy
Mixtape.
One? Mixtape Massacre.
Mixtape is the great starter kit. They got an expansion pack coming, but it's a great when Ciara and I have friends over who want to get in on the board game fun, we kind of had them laid out in terms of difficulty. We're like, listen, do you want to get in into something that's really involved, like Betrayal, or do you want something that is light, easy to engage in, and you still have the, you know, a lot of fun? Mixtape is on that on that level, where it's just like the rules are simple, the what you need to achieve is simple, and it's a blast. It's just a walk down memory lane. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Becca, you're number five.
My number five. This year, I am thankful for graphic novels, which I really started getting back into during the spring when I was at Phoenix Comic Con and ended up like dropping like $100 on graphic novels while I was there just because I was kind of like, I'm doing it. And since I've been taking the subway a lot while I'm teaching at USC, I've been literally just burning through graphic novels, reading them, and I'm absolutely loving it. And oftentimes, whereas certain, and this is largely due to budgetary restraints, like a lot of the horror films we watch, they feel very contained. They feel kind of small. You know, you might get a couple of really good scenes, but nothing feels quite as extravagant as some of the films that I think we grew up with. Whereas in the 80s, it was all about going to space and going here and, you know, giant new worlds. We just, most films can't afford to do that anymore, so we don't. But graphic novels definitely take me to that other world and present, you know, crazy new monsters and things like that that I don't always get to see on screen now. So to throw out some of the amazing titles that I have encountered this year, Bitch Planet, Moonshine. Bitch Planet across the board, by far one of my faves. And they've now actually kind of started like a Bitch Planet anthology thing where it's still following the same concept in the same Bitch Planet. But it now breaks off into some of the other character stories, which is awesome. Moonshine is one that I first found at Phoenix Comic Con, but it is set in the Appalachian Mountains. I'm from there. Let me try to say it. Appalachian area. And it's during Prohibition. So it's all about the creation of moonshine and how it's moving around, but it's also got a werewolf. And so it ends up kind of being a werewolf horror story as well. I got really into Junji Ito this year. not stuff that's new, like most of the stuff I was reading were things that he'd written a while ago, but I've just this year I read everything. Like previously I'd read Spiral and maybe one other one. Like I think I read a couple of his other things, but this year I read everything. My favorite thing is Monsters, by far one of the greatest things I think I've ever read, not even just this year. Rat Queens is another one I absolutely love. Alistair Arcane.
Oh, yeah, which, I remember Alistair. That's Steve Niles.
Came back this year. Mm-hmm. Is about, it's kind of theater of bloodish, but he's a horror host and he's been wronged. And so he goes after all of his enemies. And another one I read this year, which I can't call straight horror, but it's by far one of the most haunting things I've read this year. Everything is Flammable, which is about a girl whose house burns to the ground when she is a kid. And it's about how that affects everything from then on. And I kind of compare it to a lot of the stuff that Elric likes, where it's not, you don't look at it and go, well, here's the monster and here's the
like
slasher.
The Kindred? I like The Kindred. I like not Society. As many, I like that.
Not as many Lovecraftian babies. But yeah, it's one of these things where there's no moment that you can point and go, well, here's the supernatural moment when it became horror,
right.
But it scares you the entire time and it just feels so dark and haunting. So that's Everything is Flammable.
Might I recommend Paper Girls?
Paper Girls, I have not read yet.
Yeah, that's a really cool little book. But cool. Yeah, no, it's a great one. I love how the medium of graphic novels has opened up and evolved.
Yeah.
Elric, what's your number five?
I'm thankful for the Shockwaves group, the Shockers.
Okay.
No, I'm not. That's
seriously?
I am thankful, but I'm thankful, but that can't count as one of my things. I just want to make sure we fit that in because
yeah.
We are actually thankful, and I think that has been a nice like just for this last year. Or so it's been
the
nice.
The group has grown and elevated the show in a way that I don't know if we would have. It was a very organic and super cool thing.
Yeah,
and I am genuinely thankful for.
No, definitely. I mean, I think as a show, that would be one of the biggest things I would thank since becoming a show.
Yeah.
This version of our show, Shockwaves. Mm-hmm. Definitely kudos to all of you and reminding people that we are a show in the group as the group got so big. Some people don't know Shockwaves is a podcast.
Welcome aboard.
And here you are. But that wasn't what I'm thinking. I'm going to start with a really huge one for me this year has been. I'm thankful for podcasts, and this is not talking about our podcast, but my God, when my job changed this year, my commute doubled, and I am in the fucking car an hour and a half each way. And that's every day. So you get to the end of the week. That is 3 hours a day of time you never get back.
You should take the subway.
I could take a bus. But they're literally, I listen to so many shows now because I literally can get through sometimes two on the way. Some of my favorites, and this is an interesting medium because when we started Killer POV, I didn't really listen to podcasts and I didn't really know what the format was. And I do find myself largely drawn to the unproduced ones that, you know, that haven't got a lot of production.
Sure.
Much more like what we do. Because you are literally sitting in on these interesting conversations, specifically ones about movies. Obviously, that's really what I listen to. And in October, the horror ones were great because a lot of the non-horror podcasts were also doing horror episodes. Even Film Comment did a Tobe Hooper episode, which is actually really good because it was hearing like nerds, and I mean like academic nerds, suddenly get excited by a film director. It's like, oh, that's interesting. We wouldn't have necessarily thought of that. But so some of the ones I love, the 80s All Over is definitely something I've been listening to religiously because you can just, some of your blind spots will be filled in because they're going film by film of the 80s. Supporting characters, F This Movie, Patrick Brownlee, Wrong Reel, Projection Booth, Faculty of Horror, Splatcast, You Must Remember This. These are all shows, the Inside, the Psycho series, the Inside Exorcist. These are things that literally save me from probably not being able to do my job. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm deeply thankful for that. Also, it turns you on to new things, and it helps me understand why people like our show more, because it's not something you can really understand when you first start something like a podcast that's just a bunch of people hanging out talking. Then you start listening to shows and go, yeah, that's why, because it fills the time in a way that you feel like you're part of it. You sometimes get turned on to something new, sometimes interesting interviews. Mm-hmm. So I'm very thankful to podcasts.
Beautiful. I'm going to be brisk with my number four. We are in golden times when it comes to home video, and we have so many companies that put out great titles, you know, Scream Factory, Code Red, the Vinegar Syndrome. There's so many, but I am thankful for Severn Films specifically. And the reason being is because not only is David Gregory a wonderful guy, but I have not been more surprised by the output of a label than I have been by Severn Films this last year. Like, I think this is the label that we will all talk about each release, whether it's The Devil's Honey or Black Frankenstein or Burial Ground or, you know, the Abacus Collection. They just and Devil's Reign. They just keep putting out really cool, interesting, off-kilter stuff, and every one of them is always beyond like pristine. Like the fact that they restore these films, Wild Beasts, there's just so many great weird discoveries that we had this year from them, and so I'm really thankful that there is a label that's this weird and off-kilter restoring and salvaging these movies and putting them out in the best possible presentation with special features and all that. Again, all the labels do a great job, but it's just Severn's the one that has turned me on to the weirdest stuff that I'd never seen before this year.
And it seems like they're getting bigger. Mm-hmm. Feels like they're, and they've obviously got some very big releases
I was privy to a few of them, and so David will come back to the show to announce one in particular that everyone's going to go nuts about. So they're going to get bigger and better. And kick ass, Severn.
My number four is I'm thankful for Friday the 13th video game.
Hey, was a big deal this year.
That was a huge deal. And you know, my picks are not just about what's big. It's really about the experience. And Friday the 13th was a game that I had been tracking, and I donated money for Kickstarter and all that jazz. And after a rocky start, they found their footing, and I think that, I mean, like I played over the weekend and it was so fantastic because it was bringing horror fans and gamers together. And when you are in an experience like Call of Duty, I play Call of Duty a lot. I play Star Wars Battlefront a lot. And, you know, you hop on your headset and you're not really talking to anybody. You're just kind of blasting people away. And with Friday the 13th, you're getting in groups and you're playing as counselors and you're on headsets and you're conversing with one another. Like this weekend, I popped on and I heard, yeah, so, you know, the production's going slow, but we made some really cool monsters. And the guy's like, oh, that's great, man. When are you going to go back to set? And the guy's like, oh, you know, this like is Monday, but the laundry list of cool effects we're going to do. And I was like, oh, hey, guys. Hi, how are you? who is this? And we just started talking about movies. And then they busted my balls promptly for being a terrible Jason, which I am sometimes. But it's also the game that keeps on giving because even though they had a rocky start, they learned from their mistakes, they smoothed things out, and then they just started revealing like new counselors and new characters. Clothing.
Is Roy there yet? And I know Roy's coming, right?
Roy is coming.
Oh.
Roy's
coming. I'm playing when Roy comes.
Side note, did you read that? I mean, I don't think it's true, but there's an article. I mean, there's some crazy conspiracy theory articles of Friday the 13th, but there's a great article about arguing that Jason Voorhees was cremated, as they state in Friday 5, and that the Jason from 5 and on is actually Roy. Like, Roy is the one resurrected. Because, like, why is he so smart after, smart and angry? It's like, of course, it's Roy.
Roy resurrected.
They just put Jason Voorhees on the grave. I just thought that was a great theory, and I'm like, yeah, I'll buy that, sure.
Oh, God.
It's not true, because obviously the fatigue to Jason's face, but still.
Also, Jason's not a deadite. Anyways, anyways, thank you, Friday the 13th, the video game, for continuing the Friday legacy, the Jason Voorhees legacy, and doing what big studios cannot do, which is resurrect Jason, and then also bring the horror community together so it's real-time fandom occurring during gameplay.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting these mini movies and these mini scenarios, and then you've got reactions and fans reacting to them. So I love it.
Nice.
Great. Becca.
Okay. I'm going to go with Gateway Horror. Having two kids right now, when Marnie first started getting into horror, and she's definitely going to be my horror child, Strummer is scared of everything, which is fine. It's adorable. He loves trucks, so he watches
two?
I know. No.
I think he's allowed to be scared of everything.
I'm thankful for Becca being hard on her kids.
She's like, it's Cannibal Holocaust, kid.
Not quite, no. I mean, like, the stuff I'm getting ready to talk about, like, he definitely, like, and I'm not even showing him Scooby-Doo yet, but, like, just, like, really, like, entry level, like, look at the silly monster. Yeah. He's just, no. And gets really upset with it. And, like, even, like, we've watched, like, silly gorilla stuff where, like, gorillas pop out. And he gets really, he does not like scares. He does not like shocks. And he hates playing peekaboo. He's just not into that. He's into cars. And that's awesome. But Marnie has really been starting to get into more of monsters. And she really loves watching Godzilla and things like that. So I started showing her Scooby-Doo, which she's always really loved Scooby-Doo, but she started getting more into it. And then she started complaining that the animation was really dodgy.
Which one are you showing? The original Hanna-Barbera?
All of them. Like, I even tried. The newer ones are actually really
scary. I've heard they're really good. I got to watch it. I
Mystery
love Scooby-Doo.
Mystery Inc., I have to say, it's a bit too much for her because it gets into, like, conspiracy theories and Lewis Black is in it and it gets really Lovecrafty. It's
funny.
Heavy. Like, she didn't get it. She wasn't scared of it, but it does have some really terrifying moments. But she didn't like the animation on the original, which when you watch it now, you're like, yeah, it is a little dodgy. I mean, we've advanced, like, 50 years. So, yeah. But that said, when we started looking for other shows that she might be interested in, we found a great amount of kind of gateway horror cartoons going on right now. Monster High is probably the one that most people know, but there's also Super Monster, which is on Netflix now and has been going for a couple of months now, and it's about preschool kids. It's a preschool for monsters. It's literally like a preschool for like a little Frankenstein, a little werewolf, and things like that, and it's adorable. And then the new one that she's gotten really into is Disney, and it's called Vampirina, and it's about a preschool vampire who moves from Transylvania to Pennsylvania, and her whole house is haunted, but they run a haunted B&B, and all these monsters come stay there, and it's freaking adorbs, and I love it. And so I'm grateful that I get to, even on this five-year-old level, share my love of monsters and everything with my kids.
Nice. So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
This will sound cheesy, or maybe because of everything that's happening, news and Weinstein stuff, but this is coming from a genuine place. This isn't me trying to not get beat up on Twitter. I'm actually thankful for the rise of women filmmakers in horror, and it's from very selfish reasons, and I really genuinely mean this, because I was looking at titles that I have really enjoyed lately, Raw, Girl Who Walks Home Alone at Dark, Babadook, The Invitation, Honeymoon, and what I feel, these are all movie, Amer, all movies that really, like, get me, and I felt like I was seeing something new in the world, and it was a different kind of movie, and I'm not saying that that's gendered by any means, but it just feels like there are new stories and new feelings, new ways to approach movies, and I think part of that is by changing the equation of who's making the movies. It could be anyone, but for me, I've definitely noticed that there has been a rise in this voice. It also kind of connects to what you're doing with the scholarship, and so this isn't meant to be like, oh, look, I'm PC. I don't give a shit about that kind of stuff, but I genuinely think there's a selfish selfish part of me that wants to see new stories because, you know, the easiest way to get bored of this genre is when it gets to be the same old shit. Mm. And the easiest way to change that is let new different people tell stories. You know what I mean? It's not meaning reinventing the wheel by any means, but it's different. And these movies are all different. You look at those movies, they're all really super unique. And there's much more than that because the damn, there's tons lately, you know, and the percentage, obviously, of what they're getting to make is still super low. So I'm hoping in this new landscape
still
that's going to radically
up
change.
Less than 7% of the films being released.
But I would feel like everything that's going on news will be a radical change in this industry, and it might still take a lot of time. But anyway, I'm genuinely thankful for that because I really like these movies, and I hope more interesting, unique visions get born.
More
and I haven't seen Becca's movie yet either. So
let's see. Number three, I am thankful for the horror soundtrack revival.
Yeah. Mm.
Quite frankly, no particular label. It's just the fact that, you know, I know Ryan is a big soundtrack guy too. I've always loved soundtracks. Tim Burton's Batman was, you always know songs like, you know, the Superman theme and the Star Wars theme, but I remember Batman being a big deal. That was the first time I'm like, who did this song? And that's when you realize it's Danny Elfman. And that began a lifelong obsession with movies and movie soundtracks. And the thing is, like, you know, there were always ways to get them. You'd get the CD with expanded scores and stuff. But in the last like 5 years, just the fact that so many of these things are becoming available again, remastered on vinyl, and they come catered exactly the way that a lot of our Blu-rays come, like as special editions with this great artwork and packaging. It's just like this is the, at least I'm hoping I speak for me and Ryan, like we're at that perfect age for this. You know what I mean? Like we grew up with all these movies, we grew up with all these scores, and now there's like several great companies doing great work. And you know, a lot of people I think are now more cognizant of horror soundtracks and how important they are to a movie now than ever. So I'm very thankful for this horror soundtrack revival.
I got to tell you that Nightmare box set.
I haven't gotten mine yet, man.
Jesus Christ. It is. It's a hefty beast.
I listen to some, even though I collect, not like you guys, but I get the occasional one I really want on vinyl, but I end up spending all my time listening at work to horror soundtracks on YouTube because I'll just be plugged in. That's really how I listen to most of this stuff.
But I agree with you on that. I mean, like, but I just feel also that at the same time I've fallen behind. So all of the companies that I used to stay on top of for every single release, there's now just too many, and I can't keep track. So I kind of just got to go back to simpler times when if I just discover it on the shelf, I go, oh, shit, I didn't know this was out. I might as well just pick it up. That's great.
Yep.
What am I thankful for?
I'm thankful for Shudder, the premium streaming service.
We already
just throw the commercial in the middle.
We already done that. My number three is Rawhead Rex on 4K. No, I'm kidding.
That would have been tight.
That's amazing.
Although I will say, when they showed it at, what was it, Beyond Fest?
Beyond Fest.
Josh Miller, who hosted that screening, recreating the priest thing, I'm thankful that video footage exists, I'll be honest. But anyway, go ahead. You're saying
My number three is two TV experiences that I greatly enjoyed and now greatly miss. The revival of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, me too. That was on my list.
That is the first series in a long time. Once it was over and the following Sunday came, I was like, I'm missing my weirdness. I'm missing Dougie.
True water cooler action that we haven't had in forever. Like where you have to talk about.
Yeah.
Like you're like, I need to bounce this off someone because I don't get it.
I just miss that reaction. I miss the atmosphere and I miss all the vibes, you know. Even though David Lynch took us into a lot of different territory. Yeah. I just missed the discovery. I just missed, like, where are we going this week? What's he going to do?
And literally the least predictable thing in the history of anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, from week to week, you wouldn't know what you were going to get.
Well, the one constant is Sherilyn Fenn was still, Audrey was still going to be asking questions about what the fuck was going on.
Yeah. And I also didn't think I'd miss Dougie the amount I do. I miss him, he's now my favorite thing. Yeah. And then the time, you're frustrated by Dougie, but now it's I love Dougie.
Well, that's the thing. I miss being frustrated about Dougie.
Yeah.
I miss going, oh, Jesus, it's another Dougie Jones episode.
Dougie was when America was good.
Yeah.
America used to be a good country and Dougie was our leader. And now I don't know what happened.
I was like, who's going to guide him into his office today?
And
then the other one is Stranger Things Season 2, which we talked about in a couple episodes ago.
Oh, we haven't finished then.
But we will.
No, I finished it.
I finished it.
And I really
everybody
liked
finished it.
Well, when we get back from the break, we'll talk about it. But
we'll let everybody catch up
by then. I'll probably have seen it again.
Yeah.
Because much like a cinematic experience, I'm ready to go back and just rewatch it again. And I used to do that really. I used to do that a lot with TV shows that I just really, really loved, like Breaking Bad and Mad Men. I would sit there and watch the episode again, and just analyze it that time. And this time, I just want to kind of, now that I've gone through the experience, I'm going to go through it again and just watch it like a film.
Let me ask you this, because I got a decent critical mind, but I cannot understand where that, for those people who are like us, but who hate Stranger Things, I don't even have an inkling. Like, they go, oh, fucking nostalgia. It's like, yeah, nostalgia can be beautiful.
I will mention that when I get to my number one.
Okay, but I'm genuinely curious for those people who really don't like that series but love all the movies we always talk about.
Honestly,
I'm curious what that is.
Can I tell you something?
I don't know what it is.
I don't care if this is Tommy. Yeah. I don't trust you if you don't like Stranger Things. That's like my barometer for life is like, if that doesn't hit all your sweet spots and make you smile, then there's something cynically wrong with you.
Like, well, especially if you're our age. It's different. If somebody was 60, I could see they missed it. They don't care about that period. Say they had.
Maybe.
But where we are, I don't,
but then, you know,
grow
up on
Spielberg.
And I'm curious about your kid, but my friend's kids that are young love it.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
So
she loves it.
Much.
Oh, yeah. And teens are loving it. Yeah. So it's, which is awesome.
More on that in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Becca.
Yes. So my number three we're on right now.
Yes.
I am thankful for conventions.
Oh, really?
Because,
still?
Yeah, I know, right? I don't go to nearly as many as I used to. Like when I was doing the Fangoria director of marketing thing, I was literally like at one a month. And it was at that point, they became more frustrating because I would have to be like, I don't remember where I am. I have to be at Phoenix, right? No, I have to be in Philly. And that's when they got to be very kind of more frustrating than anything. But literally, I went to like four this past year. Texas Frightmare. I will always be
great
thankful
show.
For
yeah.
Texas Frightmare. I
wonder if we'll ever go back to that. That'd be cool.
Huh, I like it. I think we will.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know if we are, but I loved it. Yeah, I always loved going.
We are.
Oh, we are? Okay.
We are.
Oh,
okay.
Big reveal. she actually hadn't told us
Scoop.
That.
So, you know.
Well, we're working with them and doing some sponsorship with them this year, and the ads will actually be starting next week. So we're doing some stuff with Texas Frightmare. But yeah, I will always, always be thankful for that show because it's one that I always go to. I always find something new. I always find people that I just love being around and meet people who end up becoming fans long past the convention. And just from going there for the past couple of years, we all have friends there now. Friends that.
Why haven't we even hit that one in Indiana or Chicago, that area where BJ and everyone was from? The big one that everyone goes
Flashback
to.
Flashback Weekend?
Yeah, like, not Flashback. There's another one.
Cinema Wasteland?
Yeah, Wasteland. Like, yeah. I feel like.
It's a good one.
I feel like we need to, like, expand our horizons and hit a couple more every year.
Yeah, we should for sure.
Yeah, I did Wasteland a couple of times with. Fangoria, but yeah, I would absolutely love to do that one. Phoenix Comic Con is still, I absolutely love that one. One of my favorite weeks of the year.
I should go with you guys.
Yeah,
time,
I keep
so
asking
close.
You guys to come along. Yeah. It's literally like a 5-hour drive, and it's wonderful, and the fans are great, and we have a ton of listeners there, and they keep asking us to do a live show. So, hey guys, let's think about it this year. And I had a blast at Midsummer Scream. We actually did a live show there.
That was good.
It was a great
was
con
so
this
fun.
Year. Yeah, so
hey, go back and listen to that episode because it was a lot of fun. And
yeah,
a lot of you haven't listened to it.
I was going
to say, that was the lowest listened to episode ever.
That was my favorite episode to record,
why.
Right, guys?
Was
that was
so
fun.
Good. And Elric didn't even show up that day. So
I was waiting for someone to pick up. It was like they didn't even remember I wasn't there. Jesus.
But yeah, anyway, I just love standing in a room full of people who have the same love and passion with me. And plus, Udo Kier gave me a back rub. So yeah. It's cool.
Only at a convention.
Okay. I want to thank, this is pretty general, I want to thank film programmers. I just realized CineFamily closed officially yesterday, and you know, it's got its reasons it had to close. And it's a shame they couldn't figure a way around it, but like, I'm hoping something will be born from those ashes. But what I realized when it closed is I also need to separate, you know, its end and all the negative shit that happened with also some of the highlights, that not just that theater, but other. But I was thinking like some angst. There's a couple screenings with Gaspar Noé. There's a couple screenings there that are like going to stay with me forever and really like influenced me and meant a lot to me. New Beverly's continually a source of inspiration. You know, the Void screenings, which I don't get to nearly enough, but every time I love what they're doing in it, what Josh Miller does with Friday Night Frights, but also across America. Like when I was in New York last time, you know, getting to see Blue Velvet as part of a series where Greta Gerwig was there because it was her first time seeing it, and they would have famous people come seeing a movie that they should have seen for the first time and talking about it. Film programming still means the world to me. Seeing movies in a public space mean the world to me, even if I can't go as much as I used to. I love that it still exists. I love that it's hotter than ever. I love that Beyond Fest is a smoking fucking huge success. I love that Fantastic Fest is still crushing it. So to me, it's just super important. I think without that, I don't know if I'd still be as passionate as I am about all this if there wasn't still a theatrical side to all of this.
Yeah.
So film programmers, you know who you are. Thank you for what you do, and keep doing it. And, you know, another thing I'm very thankful for on that thing is our sponsors. And let's hear from them one more time.
We here at Shockwaves are thankful for our sponsor, Fright Rags. Fright Rags right now has brand new Creepshow collection, including shirts and hoodies. They also have the all-new Jigsaw collection. You can also check out the officially licensed trick-or-treat and Halloween lines on shirts, pins, and more. They still have the General Mills line, including awesome t-shirts of the monster cereals. All the artwork is custom made by top horror talent, and you can get 10% off your next order by just entering Shockwaves1217 at checkout. Get 10%. Enter Shockwaves1217 at checkout, fright-rags.com.
One of the things I'm thankful for is our other sponsor, Shudder. Brought to you by AMC Networks, Shudder is not only a premium streaming video service, but an experience unlike any other. Created for fans of all degrees of thriller, suspense, and horror, Shudder is home to the largest and fastest-growing human-curated selection of high-quality, spine-tingling, and provocative films, TV series, and originals. And there's always something new and unexpected for Shudder members to explore.
New on Shudder is Another Evil. After encountering a ghost in their vacation home, Dan and his wife Mary consult an exorcist. Unsatisfied with the verdict, Dan goes behind his wife's back to seek a second opinion and hires Oss, who promises to get rid of the beings. Oss and Dan spend a week in the vacation home excising the evil beings, but Dan soon realizes that ridding the home of evil won't be as simple as it seems. Starring Togetherness's Steve Zissou and Eastbound and Down's Steve Little, Another Evil is a haunted house comedy you won't want to miss.
Shudder is available for $4.99 a month or $49.99 with an annual membership, but our listeners get a free month by entering promo code SHOCK at checkout. Again, you get a free month by entering promo code SHOCK at checkout. Go to Shudder.com today and find the best collection of thrillers, suspense, and horror available to stream anywhere.
Okay, we're back, and let's see. We're up to our number two of the five things we're most thankful for Thanksgiving. For me, look, this is an obvious one if you listen to the show. I'm really thankful for Home 3D. And more...
Whoa, not you. You got four more years, kid.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. More so
I'm starting
because,
the clock.
Well, I really... Look, I've said it a million times. I just love the way stuff looks. But you know what else? It's because... Because I'm one of a select few of our group that has a 3D TV. I mean, I have convinced two or three different people to buy them. Like Dave Parker bought one after I showed it to him. Tony Giles. I almost got Spooky Dan to buy one, but he turned to his wife and she's like, nope. You know, so, but the point being is because I'm one of those people and I'm compulsive about collecting a lot of movies, I like to be a curator. And I just love having 3D movie nights. I like getting different groups of people together and curating things like that awful Universal, non-Universal movies that we did a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I've been talking to Becca. I definitely want her to bring Marnie over for – I have all the animated stuff. So either Monster House or Paranorman or just
– She loves
maybe
Monster
Nightmare
House.
Before Christmas.
Is Hotel Transylvania in
3D? Yep, I got both
of those. Oh, gosh, she loves those movies.
So that's the thing. It's I love that I'm able to – you know, it's fun. For me, I think the movies look better when you get to watch them at home and it's calibrated correctly.
Do you have Gaspar Noé's Love?
No, but it is on my wish list.
I haven't seen it and I want to see it like that.
Well, you know what? I accidentally clicked play on Netflix when it was on there and the opening 2 seconds... It's right out there.
No, I've heard it's crazy, but so I want to see that in 3D.
It. Yes, that is on my list. Right. I am getting
I'm
love in 3D
night,
from Gaspar Noé, and I am very thankful for Home 3D. Ryan, take it away.
I'm thankful for Rob's love for Home of 3D.
Hey, we did My Bloody Valentine, and remember that on Valentine's Day?
That was
fun.
I think that was great. I am thankful for something that's very specific. I'm thankful for Synthwave. I have gotten into a lot of different groups, thanks to just people who have, you know, people who've recommended stuff to me, Carpenter Brute, VHS Glitch, these companies are dudes, single people, who are just churning out records of stuff that's just pure fun horror synthy love. There was one I just discovered today called Cluster Buster. And they did an album called Maniac 1980. And I was like, wow, that speaks to me. Let me click on your one track called OCP, I forgot what it was called, Rules or something like that. It was just like some really fun stuff. It's great for the gym. It is great for the drive home when you just need to relax and you don't want to listen to scripts being played or books being played on audible.com. Just really, really fun stuff. I'm trying to think of some other.
Synthwave to me feels like, and I know this may be a stretch, it feels like a natural progression of our love of John Carpenter music.
Yeah, it is.
It seems like he created it.
So let's all be thankful for the John Carpenter.
Well, no. I think, you know what, actually, Rob, I think it comes from that love of John Carpenter music. For me personally, I think it comes from the video gamer in me.
Yeah.
Because I had Ciara in the car and she was just like, oh, this sounds like a video game. I'm like, yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because of years upon years of playing Sega Genesis games and listening to the soundtracks for Altered Beast and RoboCop versus Terminator and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that I was just hooked on. I think it's just ingrained in me, and there's a very video game-like vibe to everything that's in synthwave. So that's something I'm grateful for, is just new tunes.
I get all my synthwave from Adam Wingard movies. That's where I discover it all. Yeah. Becca,
yes.
You're number two.
Okay, this is similar to Elric's previously, so being topical, but I am thankful that so many people have found their voice. And this is obviously much more about, trying to get our industry to where it needs to be and to right a shit ton of wrongs that have been going on for literally since the dawn of the movie industry. I'm just thrilled that so many people have been able to find the power to share their stories, and not even just women, that a lot of people have been able to come forward about everything. But I'm glad that something that has happened within the industry, and these are absolutely horrible, but I'm glad that the power that everyone is feeling to finally talk is ultimately making for some good. Like, even just within the past couple of weeks, I've seen more women in film groups started, and it's helping other areas where we're suddenly seeing women find power in politics or in the financial fields and things like that. So even though that there are horrible, horrible experiences at the root of these problems, and this is all coming from a terrible place, I'm glad that something good is coming out of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for that.
I agree. mine's a little deeper than yours. I'm thankful for Letterboxd.
Yeah, hey.
I got to say, of all the things that have come of inventions and apps of the last few years, it was a little rocky when it first started from memory, but man, I realized I don't write enough reviews on it. I got to start putting my thoughts on. Usually I just give it a star and move on, but I love my ability to use it to keep track of what I want to see.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's how we do the show.
Yeah.
I would not be able to do the show properly.
Yeah, it's what I do. It's my track list of what I've watched and what I want to talk about.
And I like the fast scan to see what other, what people you follow have just seen recently. Jacob Knight is one who I like to see for whatever reason, maybe similar taste, but I'll go on there and go, oh yeah, that person has XYZ. And it's just, I really think it's a great app. I think it's funny because IMDb just was the only king of the market for so long.
Yeah.
And I don't care about Rotten Tomatoes because that's critics. Who cares? It's great for a quick look before you go to a movie, but I want to hear what just your average person from around the world is saying about a movie. It's also just got so many titles. It's so good for the deep cut stuff. And also I love the list function. If I click on some wacky movie for October picks and it gives me all these crazy lists, it's super fun. So I really think Letterboxd is one of the coolest things. If you're not on it, you should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Oh my God, does that leave me? That's number two. One? All right. I'm going to have to change it up a little bit, but honestly, the number one thing I'm most thankful for.
Just go in your heart, Rob. Don't change it up.
I'm going in my heart. The number one thing I'm most thankful for is Stranger Things. And I don't know why. It's just one of those things that, again, I was saying before when you were talking about TV, like, I just don't understand people that want to poo-poo on it or that think it's overrated or this and that. It's like, what?
Him laughing like at you, you saying
say
poo-poo,
poo-poo
is awesome. It's just like, they take
I don't like people to poo-poo on it.
Don't poo.
Would you like some Grey Poupon? Pardon me, sir.
It's just the delivery of it. It was just...
Do not poo-poo on
but
it.
But I mean, things. Look, I go love...
Hashtag poo-poo Stranger Things.
Look, it's just one of my... of all... We've gotten a lot of cool shit in the last couple of years. Movies, TVs, all this kind of stuff, TV shows. And this is just... It's the one thing that just hit perfectly at my life. Like, I remember when I was younger... like every time Nine Inch Nails put out a record when I was angsty, they always put out a record exactly how I felt. You know what I mean? Like The Fragile, that's how I felt in 99. Like I had all these sweeping emotions that expanded through two albums. But the point being is sometimes art reflects where you are in your life at this point. And for whatever reason, Stranger Things hits all my sweet spots. I love everything about it. Like everything. I love the actors. I love the story. I wish I came up with it, but I'm just glad it exists. And again, like when something gets super popular, people feel the need to tear it down. It's like, why can't we just enjoy shit for the sake of enjoying it? And so I don't trust you if you don't like it, quite frankly. That's what I'm getting at. But since you already said that, I'll throw in, I'm also thankful for blue-ray.com because I am obsessive compulsive about buying new movies. And I see all the deals. I literally was buying movies while we were doing this episode, which I blame on good old Brian Sauer, your co-host, because he tweeted about like the Red Riding trilogy for $14.99. I was like, God damn it!
He finds the craziest deals.
Oh, dude.
The Red Riding trilogy is good. It's really
that's $5 a movie. Yeah. Has to be done.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, that's my final.
Garfield's great.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield. Sorry.
All right, everybody else, you're number one. Number one thing you're most thankful for.
This kind
and it can't be Ryan.
Ryan's
too easy.
Ryan's thankful for Ryan.
Deep cuts. No, it kind of ties in a little bit, Rob, to what you had to say, and a little bit back into what you had to say. And this kind of ties together with the Magnolia Boulevard experience and also the convention experience, because two significant things happened this year. That kind of reopened my eyes to horror fandom again, because I do have to say I am a fucking jaded asshole sometimes, and maybe it's just because I started working here and I'm like behind the curtain and seeing what the industry is like, but having Slashback Video on Magnolia Boulevard at the Mystic Museum as being part of the Magnolia Boulevard experience, and then being there to kind of just like check in and walk in and seeing. Horror fans gravitate to this installation and seeing the glee on their faces when they walk in and go, oh my God, I want to live in here and can I set up a tent? It reminded me of what being a fan is like because I'm still very much a very hardcore fan. The other experience is going to Texas Frightmare and being behind the table and meeting every single person who came up, not maybe they didn't necessarily know what Shockwaves was, but they were just like, oh my God, Blumhouse. And I'm huge fans of horror. And then just kind of conversing with them and hearing what they like about horror movies and what still works for them in the genre, as opposed to the kind of the industry experience out here when you go to screenings and you go to conventions, it's all very professional and work-like.
Yep.
Where everything
it's
is just...
It's your job. You don't get too excited because it's your job.
Yeah, it's your job. And you know, these are people you're probably going to work with. And,
well, and also often they love horror when it makes a lot of money for them versus like
sure,
it's just
no,
about
but
the
I'm saying when I go to when you
know?
Go to Musterpalooza, yeah. It's less about what are you watching, here. What are you doing, and then it's more like what's the next gig, what are you working on, da 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 da. But going to Texas Frightmare and somebody's like, oh my God, I just saw this movie, or you guys recommended that, I really love this. Well, why did you guys like that movie? It was back to the basics, and it was like, oh fuck, man. That's what it is. That's what it's like.
I mean, it reminds me of our old convention days.
Our old convention days are just
we were
being
in this crazy business.
Yeah, or being young again. You know? It's just like rediscovering horror. You know, we talk. I don't know if we talked off mic about Elwood who hey. you talked
yeah,
to.
I just told him.
Elwood, I was hanging out with at the Year of Fear calendar event.
Who's Elwood?
He's a younger kid who is a aspiring filmmaker. Right. And
he did Friday 13th.
He did the Friday the 13th box art for Slashback. He also did some fun videos.
Oh, I met him. He was going to come sit in on a show soon.
No, okay. He is.
So, yeah.
He's going to come sit in on one of our shows.
Well, I'm glad we're all in sync on that because I also told him.
Emailing with him.
I told him and Angelina they're going to both get a tour of Blumhouse. So we'll have to have them in. But talking to them, I was like, fuck, man, that's what it's like. That's what it's like to be young and seeing the genre with kind of fresh eyes and discovery. And that's what I miss. And that's what I want to be, that's what I'm thankful for, is that kind of renewed sense of discovery.
Well, I think that's what I was getting at with like new voices in it too. I would extend that to young people like that who might still make something that will reconnect to something in us, and probably how you're feeling about Stranger Things, where it reconnects to that. The reason we got on this in the first place, the reason we still love this, it's not the day-to-day and average movie we get to watch, which probably isn't up to par. It's those special things.
Well, you know, and I love talking to younger people like the example you gave Elwood, and because I've met a lot of kids that listen to the show. And it's not just us. I don't want to make it seem like it's all about Shockwaves, but I was having a conversation with Spooky Dan about how the podcast world has changed horror fandom. And basically, he kind of was like, you know, like you guys and, you know, F This Movie and like, you know, The Movie Crypt and like these genre specific things. He's like, this is young kids' versions of Fangoria. Like, we had Fangoria magazine. We don't have that anymore. But kids today, that's where they go to hear about new movies and discover new movies. Like, we're kind of...
And it's their video store. Because they don't have have your punk giving you 10 film recommendations.
So this is it.
It's totally true.
So podcasts have become kind of the amalgamation of what inspired us. That's super cool.
Yeah.
You know? Becca, you're number one?
Mine definitely relates into this. And it's a combination of two things. I'm going to say VOD... I am grateful for, and the fact that I still get the thrill of the hunt.
Yeah.
And that is the fact that it can be 11 p.m. on some idle Tuesday, and I can go, Elric was talking about that movie, The Rift, like a year ago. I want to watch that.
I love that you don't listen for a year. You're like,
one year later.
It's my Letterbox list. I put all of my films on that, and then eventually I'll work my way through them. But I literally have hundreds of films on that list. And then I'll just search through it and be like, you know what? I'm in the mood for this. Tonight I'm going to watch this. And then sometimes I actually still have to go on the hunt. Like, I just ordered one called Malefique today, which I've never seen before. And it sounds amazing and really highly rated, but really hard to find. So I'm excited to get that one. I just ordered something called Shock Labyrinth 3D, which first. Is it good?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
Watch it at Rob's house.
That and Tormented 3D I bought together because they're both like Asian horror 3D.
So I love that I still get this kind of thrill of the hunt. And I love the fact that I can find these films that previously, you know, I would have had to hunt down or find a specific video store. Like a couple of nights ago, I watched Mephisto's Waltz, which is streaming on Amazon for like $2. Actually, that one may have been Prime. And if you like Get Out, check that one out. It definitely has similar tones. And it's from the 70s and stars Alan Alda. And, you know, it's a really lesser known horror film, but just idle Thursday night, I was like, man, it's 10 p.m. Let's see if I can find this. And there it is. I don't have to leave my couch. And I love that. And I love that I still get that kind of thrill of a hunt, of watching something that I've never seen before. Mm. And just when I think I've seen it all, the listeners and people online will give me 15 more titles that I need to go hunt down and do. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Elric, bring it on home. Did you finally find a one?
I had a one before I pushed it to the end.
All right.
Thankful to Ernie. But yes, that's not my final, but I am very thankful to Ernie.
Ernie's our recording engineer.
We love you, Ernie.
I'm sure he has better things to do than listen to us talk for 4 hours about horror movies. But
today was a long one.
I always assume he's checking like baseball stats on his phone the whole time.
Which he talks to Elric about in between.
He's a cool guy that you guys don't get to hear from enough. One day maybe we'll just switch it up and give him a mic. My number one's just something, a rediscovery of sorts and a completion. I was going to mention on the last episode because I saw his last three films. I am genuinely thankful for the cinema of Val Lewton. For me, this has become almost my universe. Universal now because like I haven't had a reaction so strongly to a body of work, and this is a creative producer, so not a director. He didn't direct any of the films, wrote quite a few of them under an alias, but I'd recorded all of them off TCM, and over the last year I've slowly been watching them all, like, because I kind of wanted to, you know, enjoy it. And I'd already seen obviously I Walk with a Zombie, and I'd seen The Seventh Victim last year, and I'd seen I'm trying to think, one other of the Cat People, of course. I'd seen them all, you know, 20 years ago, and remember liking them but feeling they're a little creaky, and I didn't really get what the appeal is. But now I realize the mastery of what's in the darkness and not ever showing you the thing that is bringing the fear. And so what I did in the last week, I watched his last three films, and the last three that he's responsible for aren't the strongest of the work, but one of them which I hadn't seen was The Body Snatcher, which Robert Wise directed, and man is it good. It's Boris Karloff as, you know, digging up graves, which I thought was hilarious, because think about the irony that Frankenstein is literally made up. But it's also him gets to square off against Bela Lugosi in a major scene, which is super fun to see Karloff and even though they're in other films together, but it's super fun to see a very serious version where Karloff kills the shit out of him. And I thought that was super cool, which you must remember this is doing podcast right now.
And it's on my list, so I know it's on Amazon VOD for
it probably
a
is. All of mine were off TCM, yeah. And I know there's a really rare DVD set. This stuff, it's bonkers that this isn't all on a major Criterion thing. Like, Cat People is, but they all need to be. Curse of the Cat People has become, I think it's the worst sequel ever made, and it might be one of my favorite movies ever made, because it has nothing to do with the first one, not even, there's no cat people to be, nothing.
Right.
Nothing to do except for title. But my God, is it a beautiful, like, elegant, kids, like, you know, kind of horror, kind of family drama. But the thing that's kind of helped is, so I've been watching these movies, and I know I've talked about him before on here, but I really want to bring it back. The best thing, and I talked about podcasts earlier, but the best thing I've heard this year for me was The Secret History of Hollywood, which is a podcast very much like You Must Remember This by a guy in England, and he is basically right now charting the films of Val Lewton. Each one, he charts the film, but really then it becomes about the making of that film. He does the voice of Val Lewton. It's about what's happening behind the scenes in the productions and coming up with these scripts. Mm. It's about RKO. It's about, literally, he had a deal where he was given a title, and they're always fucking ridiculous, like Leopard Man, and he had to make that into a movie. And he had complete artistic freedom as a producer, except for the title. He just had to do whatever the fucking title was. He had to make it. And the stories are just, it's just phenomenal. It's like the best level of those kind of produced podcasts I've ever heard. And it just kind of hit maybe at that perfect point where I was just rediscovering the movies of this guy that just as an adult, I don't think those films would have hit me like Universal movies did if I was young. But as an adult, I feel like they are the perfect ones they're all like an hour or 70 minutes or something. They're really kind of amazing pieces of work. And I've just finished. So as of like last night was my last one, Bedlam. And it was hard to kind of, I felt like, oh, there's going to be no more new valid and produced movies. So if you haven't done that, and I know some people are, I know a lot of you will have seen, you know, a couple of the classics, but man, there are Seventh Victim being the, you know, the one I probably love most.
I think that's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's such an interesting movie, but there's just, I think, you know, maybe next Halloween, even just like slowly start doing what I did. I did it every year. I didn't rush it. I don't binge them because they're very much of a type. But man, it's so cool that there was a guy out there, and a cool thing that I discovered about him is he actually wrote a couple early stories in Weird Tales, like early Weird Tales, before he started making these movies. Mm. And he wrote a lot of stuff as an alias. So that's another thing I didn't necessarily know about him. I just thought of him as a producer. But it's really cool, the idea that producers can be creative and really big, and obviously they still are, but it's a different mindset than what a lot of us think of as our typical producer. And sure. I think we should celebrate his work. And I'm truly like, and I'm not just, oh yeah, I'm thankful. No, it's made a big impact on me this year. It really has, his work. I think I'll be thinking about it for years. So super cool stuff.
Beautiful. Well, that was really fun. That was a cool little assignment.
Yeah, that was fun. Well done.
You know, to close out, look, I'm thankful for you guys, my co-hosts. We don't get to see each other too often, but we get together once a week.
We used to, yeah.
I always look forward to it. You guys are like family, and so I'm very thankful for you guys.
Aww.
And of course, I'm thankful for everyone listening. You guys make it worthwhile. We hear from you and you join the conversation, your family as well. So.
And I also want to say thank you to our sponsors who have kept us going throughout the year.
Yeah.
And it's because of the listeners supporting our sponsors that we keep going. So
yes.
We encourage all of our listeners to keep supporting our sponsors because that'll just keep our show keep our show going and make it better and better.
I want to thank Rebecca for never dying on air.
Thank Thanks, guys.
Thank you for never eating a peanut and dying on air.
It's been hairy, guys.
I really try.
I try. Yeah. I was tempted a few times, but I tried.
Yeah, we want to use the pen thing. Or at least Elric really wants to stab you with a pen.
You're getting stabbed in the heart one way or another.
I will be like not breathing, but I will fight Elric away and be like, Ryan's doing it.
What will come first? Trump getting impeached in 2018 or Becca, us using the pen on Becca?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, we'll see. Yeah. Let's start the bet.
But yeah, thank you for listening and keep reviewing us. We really appreciate it. Super cool.
Have a great Thanksgiving and be safe.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And if you're interested in advertising on Shockwaves, please contact me at shockwaves@blumhouse.com. Again, that's shockwaves@blumhouse.com.
I'm thankful for that voice Becca puts on whenever she asks for
money. Always on.
Always.